Hi, this is Anna, and this is Check It at the Round Table, where we discuss movies, books, music, and stuff. Today we're discussing the Taiwanese BL drama series Craving You, Episode 10. This episode was my favorite of the entire series. Although I will say I'm not really into weddings, so I think we could have cut that a little short for filming, but no offense, I'm just like, you know, they're a ceremony. We can just shoot to the couple and then go on with the rest of the story. I'm sorry I'm that way. But anyway, moving on. So this episode, Ray, Kane's manager, finds out that Kane did not tell him the truth about he and Kent. And he basically says, you're going to either quit the music industry or you're going to write a message to all your fans that says you are not in a relationship with Kent. And that's the ultimatum he gives him. Kent is then told by Kane what's going on with his music career, his manager, etc. And Kent says, you know that promise you made me that you would do one thing I asked of you if I won you over with my cake that one day, the second day we met? I'm going to ask you not to like me back. That's what I'm going to ask you. And I think this really shows why, in a way, Kent is a really, really cool person. I mean, no offense, he's one of my favorite characters in any drama, be it BL or regular. And he just sits there and goes, you know, Kane, I want you to be able to live your life. I want you to have as little regrets as possible. And music is your life. So you giving me up for music is totally worth it. And I'm going to help make that easier by saying you have to do it because you made me that promise. And that's how they basically break up their relationship. Kane then goes home to his apartment and just starts weeping, realizing that he is losing a really cool person. And he's like, I really don't want to lose this person, but I don't see another way around this. But I also know that this kind of person is not, you know, there's a handful of people in the world like that. So anyway, he's trying to deal with that. Soda and Noah do get married. That goes smoothly. And Soda does tell his mom he's getting married. He takes Noah with him. They go eat dinner with his mom. And he says, Mom, I'm getting married to Soda. This is our wedding. I'm getting married to Noah. This is our wedding invitation. We would like you to come if you can. And I really think that really helped with Noah as well, because he knew that Soda was willing to go talk to his mom about their relationship and be honest with her and ask her to come to their wedding. I love how his mom, who Soda thinks is going to say no and, you know, I disown you, I won't ever talk to you again, all that stuff, she looks at him and goes, are you guys blissful together? Are you happy? Is your relationship good? And Soda says, yes, we're very happy. And she looks at Noah and she says, okay, Noah, I'm giving you my son. You're going to take good care of him, okay? And that's how they conclude it. She says, okay, now order anything you want to eat, and we're going to have dinner. And I love that, you know, they think it's going to be this terribly awkward, uncomfortable situation. The mom just looks there and goes, are you boys happy? That's what matters. If you're happy, if you're well, if your relationship's healthy, then there's no regrets here. I'll come to the wedding. We're going to have a good time. And you guys had a nice picture for the invitation. Let's eat. And I love how she just kind of goes, okay. And at the end of this episode, they do have their wedding. Kent makes a fabulous cake for it. And Kane performs a song for their wedding that's going on basically a YouTube live or a live feed. And he's also supposed to give the speech that says, I'm not with Kent, we're not in a relationship, etc. Instead, he looks at the camera and he says, you know what? I'm going to be honest with myself and with everyone here because that's what I need to be. And also because there's this person who really cares about me and who really makes my life complete in ways I wasn't expecting. So I'm going to be honest about that. I'm not going to be sitting here saying I'm not in a relationship. I don't want to be in a relationship, whatever, because quite frankly, that's not where I want to go with this. I want to be honest with my fans, and I want to, more importantly, be honest with myself. He then ends up saying a song called Lucky Us for the couple of Soda and Noah. But really, it's really a more of a fit for Kent and Kane that basically says, you know, we don't have to listen to what everyone says about us. What matters is that we're lucky to have found each other and to be able to appreciate one another's qualities. And that's kind of how their wedding scenes end. This episode ends with Kenton came back at Kane's apartment. It is Kane's birthday, which I thought was kind of an interesting ending because the whole thing with Soda and him started on a birthday of Soda's, and we're ending with a birthday of Kane's. And basically, Kent has made him a birthday cake. They're having a romantic moment on the couch. And then he says, you really do need to make your wish. So you make your wish. And Kane makes his wish. And then Kent tries to get him to tell him what his wish was. And he says, you know, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you. And so then he basically wrestles him down. And he says, you know what? My wish has already happened. We're together. We're having a good life. And that's how this series ends. I really did like Kit and Kane in the series. They were great. I did not like the integration of Soda and Noah. I know that they added a bit to the storyline, but more than anything, I really just wish we could have had the story be about Kent and Kane and their relationship without bringing in the old possible love interest and square that created in the love square instead of a triangle. And so, you know, that I really could have lived without, but I did really like Kent and Kane's characters. I'm kind of hoping we come out with a second season of this so we have more screen time with just them as a couple. That would be kind of interesting. And I really do think they brought out one another's good points. Also, Kane, I think, had a great problem of feeling that he wasn't appreciated, whether you're talking about as a young kid with Soda who decided not to say he liked him. And so he felt insignificant and like he wasn't likable. And one thing about it is Kent would never have made him question if he liked him. He would have made it very clear that Kane was the one that he liked, and he would have been honest with everyone about that, which I think is one of the reasons they were such a good couple, is Kane had never had that in his life. He never had anyone that appreciated him just for being him. And with the ability to say that in public without feeling embarrassed or ashamed. And I think that's one of the things I like best about their relationship is with Kent, he is going to be completely honest. It doesn't matter who's there or what, he's just going to be there. This couple is one that I really enjoyed seeing, as you can obviously tell from my digressions here. It's kind of like, I did not like Why Are You the series, but the good points of Tudor and Fighter, how they played off one another well, and I'm not talking about the romantical scenes, which I skipped a lot of that because that wasn't my thing, but the qualities of character that both those characters had and how they played off one another well is kind of in the same way the qualities of character that I really liked in Kent and Kane. Although I will say Kent's a much stronger character, but again, we're talking about the people in this series are in their probably 30s, and the Tudor and Fighter were, you know, in their early 20s, and 10 years can make a difference in perspective simply because you've had longer time to develop as an individual, and you might have been through one or two relationships by that time that you meet your significant other in your 30s where you weren't in your 20s and you're just figuring everything out. And so, you know, that's something to consider as I was looking at the characters, like, you know, they remind me a little bit of what I liked in Tudor and Fighter as characters and how they played off well with each other. Because they have, Kent has extremely strong conviction, and in the same way Tudor and Fighter have extremely strong conviction. I think the thing I really liked about them in the Why Are You series, although I would not rewatch that just because it wasn't my thing with the hokiness and some of the more adult rated topics and romantical moments that I just really wish we wouldn't have included. The thing that I did like about them is it's one of the few shows I've ever seen where both characters that end up together have extremely strong conviction. Usually you see like one character will have conviction, one will be kind of there trying to figure out how to have conviction. Like for example, in this series, you have Kent who has extremely strong conviction, and you have Kane who's trying to work up to conviction and finally comes to the point where he's like, yeah, I'm going to have conviction. Yeah, this is going to be the way it is. But I really liked how they played off well with one another. I would give this series probably an 8 out of 10, simply because I didn't like the digressions with Soda and Noah. If it had just been about Kent and Kane, I would have given an absolute 10 thumbs up. And I would definitely rewatch the last episode again just because I really liked how they handled things at the end. And I also really liked the end scene, although it was a little romantical. I just liked that they enjoyed one another's company. And at the end, they're wrestling, going, "Tell me what you wished for, or else." And it's kind of funny. I mean, no offense. And I did like how they were able to basically learn to play. It's kind of like the whole point, I think. And again, I'm not a Shakespearean scholar, but when you read Taming of the Shrew by Shakespeare, you know that Katerina is this shrew, but you also know that she doesn't know how to play with others. And the one thing I think Petruchio brings to that relationship is he taught Katerina how to play. And I think it's interesting in relationships, you typically have like one person that's a little more serious, one person that's a little more funny or comedic. And I think the reason that is because they have to learn how to play. The thing I think is funny about this series is when you first meet Kent, you would not think at all that he is humorous, A, or B, that he'd be the one who teaches Cain how to play. You would think Cain would be the comedic one. But when they're with each other, when they're just having fun, I would say, to be quite honest, Kent is far more jocular than Cain ever is. And it's kind of interesting to see that reversal in how you think they see the world when they're together as a couple. But that is my review of episode 10 of Craving You. Check it at the round table. Bye!